Great to be with you again. As John was saying, when Pastor Dan left, I was part of that celebration when he left, and had the privilege of speaking a few times at that point in the interim. And it's good to be back again. I bring greetings from Ken Snyder, the regional director, who's actually on his way to Austria today. I don't know if you're familiar with Nana Kufi, but he's somebody who does ministry in Austria among immigrants in that area. And so Ken has gone to see him with Joe Johns from Fellowship Missionary Church. And so I'm sure he sends his greetings. And things are well in the region. I'm really encouraged in how God is working among us, giving us a passion for making disciples, seeing new churches planted. One that you might have heard about, but maybe not, is in Hartford City. Are you familiar with a church plant in Hartford City that started about, 3 years ago or something like that? Actually, the people who are there serving are people with real pedigree in that it's Josh Jones, and that's Steve Jones, the president of a missionary church today, his son. And it's Kelly Butler, who is the daughter of the pastor where I attend, which is Doug Butler. And they moved to Hartford really with just a desire to connect with the people in Hartford. So they went and lived right in town in an apartment complex, which they came to find out was the place where drug deals were taking place. I mean, that was the place. And that's where they moved. Well, they have loved the people, and they have seen drug dealers come to Christ. They have seen drug dealers starting to do ministry to others. They have about 40 to 50 people now regularly meeting on a Sunday afternoon. And it's people who have come out of that environment. It's such a joy. And from an administrative point of view, well, that's one of my responsibilities is administration at the regional office for church planters and helping them financially, you know, to get their ducks in a row and so forth. I mean, don't repeat this, but they don't have a clue. I mean, but ministry-wise, oh my, they're knocking it out of the park. It's just such a joy to see. You know, when I try to say, oh, well, how about this? Oh, I didn't know about that. And it's so funny. But, I mean, praise the Lord. And we are in the process and very close to working with somebody who is going to start a church in Columbia City area. We have no church in Whitley County for the missionary church. And we've got a gentleman who lives just north of Warsaw. He's been part of Time to Revive. I don't know if you're familiar with that, but Revive Indiana, Time to Revive. There was a revival in Fort Wayne about 3 years ago, 4 years ago. They go out on the streets and just ask to pray for people. And they lead, I don't know how many people to Christ that way. And so we're looking forward to working with this gentleman and his wife and kids to see what will happen in Columbia City. He's actually written a book called Fire Within, and he's just such an interesting guy, down-to-earth guy. I wrote to him the other day because we're going to be going as a team. We're going down to Marion. They're doing an outreach there. We're going to be there Monday afternoon. When I told him about that, he responded back in his email. He said, sweet baby carrots. Oh, just a joy to hear. I don't know where that came from. I said, hey, I prefer parsnips to carrots. But, I mean, you know. So God is at work in the region, and people are coming to Christ here in America, overseas. Talk to world partners. Oh my goodness! I was looking at the bulletin board. Didn't get to the place, but I'm assuming you support some missionaries overseas. God is doing some wonderful things. And by the way, as you pray for Dave and Brenda Mann. Are you aware of what's going on there? Dave Mann, of course, led World Partners for a number of years. Well, about 2.5 months ago, 3 months ago, Brenda came down with something. They don't know what it is. She's been under care from Mayo, Cleveland Clinic, and she's now in a nursing home, a care home, and she's basically pretty much in a coma. I mean, she's, 72 or something like that. But Dave has been with her for the last 3 months, and they don't know what the issue is. They've gone to the CDC, find out if there's something there. But pray for Dave and Brenda. Brenda is his wife who's like that. But they have to make decisions, long-term decisions, not knowing at all what the issue is. So it's difficult for them. So pray for them. But I so appreciated the songs that you shared this morning. There's none like you. You know, how majestic is your name? And this is not what I was going to talk about. But this morning, as I was having my devotions, I was reading in Isaiah chapter 40. And you know it. You know, it starts off with, comfort ye, my people, right? It's the Handel's Messiah where he quotes from that. And it goes on and it talks about how God has weighed the sand in the scale. And he has named every star by name. I thought, wow, what a mighty God. What an awesome God. I thought, how awesome. So I took out my phone. Okay, Google. And you know, you talk to Google too, right? If you want to find out any information. Of course, it's not always correct, but many times it's good. So I said, okay, Google, how much does the earth weigh? And it's what, 12 with 21 zeros, tons. That's how much it is. And God has weighed that. And I said, how many stars in our galaxy? Any guesses? How many stars in our galaxy? Don't take your phone out. What? How many stars in the galaxy? Guess. A billion, getting close. 100 to 400 billion stars in the galaxy. How many galaxies? Any guess? 100? I thought maybe a few hundred. 100 to 400 billion galaxies. Oh my goodness. And it says in Isaiah that God names every star by name. Isn't that awesome? I mean, 100 to 400 billion, give or take a few, billion in our galaxy that God knows their name. But that's just one in 100 to 400 billion galaxies. Oh my goodness. When you start to think about God, who God is, it truly is unbelievable who he is and that you and I have the privilege of talking with him. Isn't that something? I mean, if my wife and I were saying, man, it's good that God doesn't get old because, you know, I forget names, right? God doesn't do that. He doesn't forget names, and he doesn't forget our name. I mean, if he can name 100 times 100 billion stars, what do you think about us? How many people have there been in the world over all time? 20 billion, maybe? Easy. Easy for him. But he knows each one of us. Isn't that amazing? And that's, in some ways, what I want to talk about today, because it's from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. You've most likely heard many times messages on chapters or verses 8 and 9, which is, for by grace are you saved through faith. You know that verse, right? By grace. But I want to look at verses 1 through 7. And just as we look around at the world, I don't know about yourself, but the world's not in a good place. I just had a few headlines that I want to read here. I mean, the issue in Hong Kong, right? China urges tougher rules and a tougher line in Hong Kong. We lived in India as missionaries for a few years, and so there was that something on there. What India looks like when the air turns to poison. I mean, it's like you live in smog these days. It's awful. Iran announces a new nuke deal violation. I mean, they're going ahead and doing whatever they please. Militants kill 54 in an attack on Mali army post. ISIS claims responsibility. Mikhail Gorbachev tells the BBC, he says, the world is in colossal danger. As you look at the world, it's somewhat discouraging, isn't it? In that, man, it just doesn't seem like we have been able as people to get it together, right? To be able to get on together. and create an environment in which there is what so many people and most people look for, peace and joy in life. We just can't do it, right? It's pretty depressing. But Ephesians 2 speaks to that, as to what the world is like with and without Christ. So let's read that. If you've got a Bible, and you turn to that, but otherwise it's on your overhead. Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 7. It's from the NIV. And it reads like this. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Let's pray and ask God to open our eyes to see what he's saying here. Lord, we want to thank you so much that you are so majestic. It's just unbelievable when we start to think about the capacity you have to name the stars, to weigh the islands in the sand in scales. You are beyond understanding. But this morning we pray that by your Spirit in our hearts, you would open our hearts, you would open our minds to hear what you're saying. Because we want to hear from you. We desire to know you more. We desire to love you more because you are worthy of our love. And so we pray that your Spirit would have his way in us. God, may people forget my words, but remember your word to them, whatever that might be today, so that you would be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we look at Ephesians chapter 2, It's a very bleak picture that Paul paints in the first few verses, right? And that's where the title comes from, with or without Christ. He talks about what it's like without Christ. We'll go into detail on that. And then later, what the details are about with Christ. Now, just to set the context of that, and we were talking about how mighty God is and how unbelievably great the world and the universe is. This is the context in which Paul writes this from chapter 1, which we'll read. But it's God shows how he worked in Jesus in his power. And then Paul says, now, that power is available to you. Work it out in you. Just think about that as you think of the power that is here. This is from verses 18 through 23 of chapter 1. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened, in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the saints, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given. Not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be the head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. That's what God's power was like in Jesus' life, raising him from the dead, seating him in the heavenly realms at his right hand, far above every authority and rule and power. And Paul says, that's the kind of power that's at work in you and me. That's exciting. That's a lot of power. A little bit stronger than any TNT or a nuclear bomb. I mean, that is tremendous power. So let's contrast it then as Paul goes through chapter 2. Paul starts off by saying that we are spiritually dead. We're dead without Christ. You know, people generally don't like that, right? We don't like to be told that we're dead, but, I mean, we all see it. I mean, some people are much more alive than others, right? But spiritually, God says, The universal human condition is that we are dead without Christ. People who are without Christ, who do not know Christ, who are not following Christ, are spiritually dead. Because of our transgressions and sins, those things that we did, those good things that we did not do, that's why we're in that state. A spiritually dead person has no appetite for God, right? There's no spiritual life there. There's no understanding of the spiritual world. They have no appetite for God. Unfortunately, they can even come to church but not have a relationship with God, right? Spiritually dead person has no sense of that awesome might of God that we were just talking about the stars and all of those things. I have no clue about that. It's just like, well, evolution, you know, just give us a bit of time and a boom, and it happens. Spiritually dead person has no morals, fuzzy understanding of what right and wrong is. Wow, do we see that today? Right? Spiritually dead person can see people hurting, turn away. Now, God's grace is good, and many people do help, even though they don't know God. But without Christ, friends, people are spiritually dead. And if you are without Christ today, you are spiritually dead. That's what God says. Second thing we see here in the first few verses is that we are captives without Christ. We're captives. We're imprisoned. We're kept within bounds. Why? Why is that? I mean, Paul speaks that we're captives of three big enemies, right? He says it's the degrading influence of the world around us, the temptations and deceptions of the devil, and our own selfishness, the flesh that Paul talks about, right? There's these things warring against us. When we talk about being captive, I was looking that up in the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, and this is what it is. It defines it as this: held under control of another, but having the appearance of independence. Without Christ, you might think you're independent. You might think you're doing things independently and on your own, but you're not. You're captive to these things. Captivity makes free choice or departure from that difficult. As John Stott concludes on this, he says, "Before Jesus Christ set us free, we were subject to oppressive influences from both within and without. Outside was the world, the prevailing secular culture. Inside was the flesh, our fallen nature, twisted with self-centeredness. And beyond both, actively working through both, was that evil spirit, the devil, the ruler of the kingdom of the air, who held us in captivity." Without Christ, you are captive to those three things. You don't have freedom to get out. Oh, there might be a little bit of success on occasion. You know, you do something right, but you're bound. You're imprisoned to that without Christ. Thirdly, without Christ, we're condemned. We're condemned without Christ. That combination of the world, the devil, and our own selfishness leaves us spiritually dead, enslaved, and in God's eyes, condemned objects of wrath. Or if I were really portraying my heritage, objects of wrath. Because I came from England, that's how they say it there, right? Wrath, or something like that. But we were objects of wrath, God's wrath, because we've gone against him. We flaunted him. We've opposed him. Without Christ, that's where we are. And the thing is that all of us were in that place at one point. We might still be there, but all of us were at that place at one point because we were without Christ. The world tells us to just do our best and we'll be okay, right? The world tells us to believe that basically we are okay. Just believe in yourself. We can all find somebody else who is worse than us. Right? So we must be okay. We must be pretty good. You've heard that stuff. But the Bible says that without Christ, we're not okay. We're not okay. I mean, that's in some ways, it's bad news. But the beautiful thing is that it doesn't stop here, right? Okay, we'll go on to what it means to be with Christ. But the truth is, without Christ, we're not okay. We're in trouble. And in contrast is God's work in us, right? Verse 4 starts, but because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ even when we were dead in transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. There's no need for us to stay without Christ. God reaches out to us so that we can be with Christ. And so here's the good news. What does it mean to be with Christ? Well, it opposes those three things that I've just been talking about. First, God made us alive with Christ, it says, right? He made us alive with Christ. We were spiritually dead, but we were born anew. That's where the born again thought comes from, right? You and I were born spiritually when we responded to Jesus Christ. So we've been forgiven. Chapter 1 of Ephesians, Paul praises God because in Christ we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. Being forgiven means that the separation that existed between God and us, that we were without Christ, now is gone. That separation has been cared for in Jesus. So when we come to life spiritually, as Jesus said, repent and enter into the kingdom of God, you and I enter into the kingdom of God. We're born into that kingdom. By the grace of God, we've entered there. Not a physical place. It's when you read Ephesians, when Paul starts off, he says, to the saints, followers of Jesus, in Ephesus and in Christ Jesus. And you and I are like that. You're in, or we are now in North Manchester, but we are in Christ Jesus. We're physically in North Manchester, but spiritually, we're in Christ Jesus. We're in his kingdom. So, being alive means that there's no condemnation in that kingdom. We're not condemned anymore. We read that in Romans 8:1 and later in that chapter. It says, who will bring any charge against God's elect? When God has drawn you close in Christ, there's nobody who can condemn you. Satan tries. In fact, we often are our own worst enemies about that, right? I'm not good enough, right? Isn't that how we go? I'm not good enough, not worthy, not deserving. But because of Christ, you are. You know, we often hear, if you say, you know, well, are you a Christian? Yeah, I'm a sinner saved by grace. And I kind of struggle with that statement. I was a sinner, and I've been saved by grace. Now I'm a saint. And on occasion, yes, I sin. I mean, I'm not perfect. But I'm not a sinner anymore by my nature. And if you are in Christ, you're not either. That's the old nature. That's what was holding you captive. And you've been set free in Jesus Christ. You don't need to live that way anymore. So that's the being alive with Christ. Then we're raised with Christ. Paul says, God raised us up with Christ, he says in verse 6. Now that we're spiritually alive, we can have a relationship with God, just like Jesus had with the Father, how he communicated with the Father. He says that, I only do what I see the Father doing, and I say what my Father tells me to say. And he prayed to the Father. He was in close relationship with his Father. And you and I can be in the same kind of relationship now that we're raised with Christ, made alive with him, and raised with him. Raised with him into the world of the kingdom of God, where God rules, where the Father is in control. When we look around, as I mentioned in the beginning, the world situation, it's not the greatest. But when we look at the kingdom of God, There's the kingdom of God around the world. And the kingdom of God is where God is in control. And you and I can live in that. And when we do that, life is different. Because we're in a place where God is king and we obey what he tells us to do. Right? I mean, we tend to live by not doing the things he tells us not to do. That's kind of our default, right? But we need to live by what he tells us to do. To love one another. Right? To care for one another. To be gracious. To be full of the fruit of the Spirit, etc., etc. That's what God desires. That's where we can live today because we're part of the kingdom of God. We've been raised with Christ to be alive. We're raised into that kingdom. We now have a choice. We can choose freedom to obey God. Without Christ, you can't. You're captive. Oh, on occasion you do right things and you might do what Jesus wants you to do. But now that you are with Christ, made alive with him, raised with him, now you can live in the kingdom freely, no longer captives. The world, the flesh, the devil do not have control over you. Amen? Amen. We don't need to live like that. But how many of us as Christians live that way? Right? We make excuses. Well, my upbringing was bad. Or whatever it might be. Or I don't have the education. Or, I can't do that. I've not been trained to do that. Or you're free to obey God. If God tells you to do something, you can do it. And he'll give you the power to do it, right? So we are free in Christ because of the privilege we have of being raised with him. Oh, there's a constant battle. No doubt. But we are free to choose to do what God tells us to do. Those without Christ do not. Paul says it later on in Ephesians 4. He says, instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. You and I, in our own power, obviously can't live the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. That's just not how we were raised or who we were, right? But now in Christ, and because of the power of the Holy Spirit, we can. And when we don't, we're being disobedient, right? Then we're not living in the kingdom at that point. We decide to do what we want to do, but you're free to live that way. And then lastly, we're made alive with Christ, we're raised with Christ, we're seated with Christ. He says in Ephesians 2, verse 6, this is from the New Living Translation, for God raised us up from the dead, along with Christ, and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus. That's where we are. In Christ, with Christ, we're seated in the heavenly realms with Christ. Here's part of that passage in the first chapter of Ephesians that I read earlier. And I'll read it initially, and then we'll read it again together as one small substitution. But this is what it is, what it says. He raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under his feet and appointed him to be head over everything for the church. That's where you and I are seated. Now, read it again with me. Can you see it? I've changed one or two of the words where it said Christ. Now it's us. Okay, let's read this together as we come to a close here pretty soon. God raised us from the dead and seated us at his right hand in the heavenly realms, far above all rule and authority, power and dominion, and every title that can be given, not only in the present age, but also in the one to come. And God placed all things under our feet and appointed us to be head over everything for the church. Now, it's still that because we're in Christ, not because we're so great, but we are in Christ. So that's why that's true. So John was saying, are you blessed? I am blessed, folks, and so are you, right? We are blessed if we're with Christ, right? And that's the question today. Where are you? Are you with or without Christ? Without Christ, easy answer for you. You need to turn to Christ. You need to say, I'm going to enter into that kingdom. I'm not going to do my will anymore. I'm going to do your will. I'm going to follow you. That's the choice. If you want these blessings, that's what you need to choose. And then you can be set free. You no longer need to be a captive. But most of us, I'm guessing this morning, are in Christ. So how are you living out of that victory that Christ has given to us? I'm not saying that things are going to be comfortable and easy and you know, you're going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise and that. No. But you can have a joy and a peace that passes understanding because of what God gives us. Are you living there? You can. You're free to choose that. Don't let the enemy tell you. And I don't know if you get the priority today from the Missionary Church. It's every month it comes out. Steve Jones always has an article on in there, and he has some tremendous insights. But he was talking about the way that the devil sets premises, and we respond. So, for example, David and Goliath, right? Goliath comes out and he says, okay, the rule is that you have to find one person to fight me. Why? Why would he say that? The Israelites have 50,000 people there. I'll charge him and kill him. They could take care of him, right? Why do they sit there dumbfounded waiting for one person? And so Steve Jones was talking about this. And it's kind of dumb, isn't it? I mean, you let the enemy tell you the rules of engagement? Yeah, right. Yeah. You tie your hands behind your back, and I get to shoot first. I mean, I don't, you know, stupid, right? But we live so much by these premises, right? You're not good enough. That's from the devil. That's not how we need to live. That's not true. You don't need to believe that. Because of this in my history, I can't be set free. A lie. A lie from the enemy. There's all kinds of things, and you can think of things in your life that you say, boy, this is something that I'm not free from. Personally, my dad was, I grew up in a good family, but later on in life, he had an affair, a number of affairs, and then divorced my mom and married again. And it was always a struggle for me. I said, God, there's many things in my dad that I'd like to be like, but that I don't want to be like. I don't want to be like that. And it was a battle for me. But now I'm free of that. I'm free. That's not where I'm going. Because the enemy can't tell me that that's who I'm going to be, even though it came through my father. I don't know what it is for you. But you're free. You can live in that. You can live alive with Christ, raised with him, and seated with him in the heavenly realms. That's where you and I are. And so when the enemy comes, it's kind of like somebody said, oh, he was asleep and he was woken up because his bed was shaking, and he woke up and looked, oh, it's the devil. Okay, I'll just go to sleep. Why? Because we don't need to be afraid of him, right? But he tells us all kinds of lies that tie us up in knots. Are you free today? I pray you are. I don't know what it is that might hold you back from going over to your neighbor, telling them how you care for them, showing them that you care for them, that God loves them. Maybe applying for a job, or I don't know what it might be for you, but you're free to do what God leads you to do. So let's pray, shall we? Father, we want to thank you so much that we are so privileged to see the truth of Scripture. It's very clear about the way the world is, and we can see that all around. We're dead spiritually. The world is dead spiritually. The world is condemned. The world is captive to all kinds of other influences and how they pursue that. Your word is very clear about that. But thank you that because of your great love, because of how majestic you are, how wonderful, loving, and gracious you are, you did not leave us there, but you made us alive with Christ. We're no longer spiritually dead. You raised us with Christ into that kingdom, and now we're seated with Christ in the heavenly realms. Lord, I pray that if there's anybody here this morning who has not chosen to follow Christ, I pray that you would touch their hearts and that they would start to follow Christ, that they would be set free from the captivity that they're in, the condemnation that they are under, and that they would enter into the kingdom of God and start following you. May that be their decision today. But for most of us, Lord, we are in Christ because we have decided to follow you and by your grace responded to your love. I pray, Father, that you would help us to live in the fullness of the life that you've called us to live. Thank you that you and your word says that you've given us everything we need for life and godliness. In fact, you dwell in us through your Spirit to empower us to live the way you want us to live, and that we're free to follow you and pursue you and love you with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, that you may be glorified. So, Lord, help us, whatever the decision is, whatever the situation is. Help us to be set free from our past and live freely into the future, obeying you for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So, we are blessed indeed, aren't we? Amen.